Welcome to this month's and this year's Real Estate Roundtable. I'm Andreas Senni, Roundtable host, and joining me this month is Saul Klein, Realtor extraordinaire, one of the first people to help evangelize the internet as far as it goes to real estate, and Chris Abel, our leading construction, architecture, and all things build and engineering out of Connecticut. And powering our show, as always, is Regan Mendoza. Looking forward to another great year together, everyone. So, we were talking a bit before the show. How was your 2022 starting off? What's changed? Where are you in each of our different respective parts? So, I'd love to go around. It's a small group today.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about?
Where do you go? I know a lot of people went to a lot of places. I know a lot of people got stranded. Man, there's all kinds of stories around what took place over the last couple of weeks. But for me, it was kind of, you know, life as usual during COVID. And that is you stay home, you Zoom, you have conversations on the phone with people, and you try to get things done that way. I can report on the car wash. It was December. We had rain and it was a terrible month. And I got my checks in the mail yesterday. And instead of the three checks that I get from the car wash, I only got two. So it was a slow month.
Well, in California, better than it would be here, I'm sure, on the car wash side.
Yeah, that's one of the things about having a car wash. You want to have a car wash where the weather is mild, right?
Right, year-round. And last we spoke, you were thinking about maybe changing the use, and I'd love to get back to that in a minute. If we are back, and are you going to grow the beard again?
Yeah, no, I thought about that. I think we're done with that. I got enough pictures.
And Chris, back here to the Northeast with you. How was your 2022 or start of?
It's so far so good. And so up until possibly tomorrow in Connecticut, the weather's been pretty mild for the most part. So car wash down the street is doing fairly
Bang
well.
Business,
so,
huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Needs to see my car. I need to get mine washed, as my 6-year-old always tells me. But things are going pretty well for 2022. I got to take a little bit of time off. I missed being on the show the past couple months because of some scheduling conflicts. But it's been really nice to take a little time off with the family and kind of crank up and get things back going for 2022. Same. I mean, I've been out and about a little bit, but I haven't really been adventuring too much, and just kind of, you know, looking to get through the winter and you know, like everyone else out there, but all is well. I have nothing to complain about, and I'll take that for now.
There's a lot of truth there. As much as I might complain offline on certain things, everyone's happy, everyone's healthy for the most part. Everyone's getting through this, and I think that's something we need to remember. We're getting through this. And I was joking just before the call started that, you know, a tree may fall on my new house that I moved into. But, you know, that's at least I have that problem. I have a house. I'm in the house. It fell on it. It's all about the frame of mind you approach these, let's call them catastrophes or situations in. So true to that. I myself, commercial real estate wise, things are picking up, but scarcity is a huge problem for available assets, things to buy. I mean, everything's been scouted, scoped. There's some fear out there for business as usual on things shutting down, you know, lack of income. But otherwise, everybody's just trucking along to do more.
When you say scarce, do you mean like there's lack of inventory?
Lack of inventory, absolutely. And variables. Now, we're 26% positivity rate in New York State. So if they are forced to shut down, what does that do to the income for the year? How long will they shut down? Because there are a lot of businesses made it through the first shutdown. And many can't survive another 3 months offline. But everybody's is chin up that I run into. Either chin up or nose down. Nose down finding a deal or chin up saying we're going to make it through this. And I take a lot of that with me every day. So a couple of things in the
commercial space. You've got repositioning assets, right? New uses of things. Because we in the dead horse in the room is COVID, right? So no matter what anybody thinks about 2022, what I say is there's lots to do in 2022.
That's right.
And we're not sure exactly what that is yet because we have certain restrictions that are there that might not be there or might be there more one way or the other. But what happens, and what's happened to us over the last couple of years, is we've gotten new necessities, have created new behaviors. And the question is, when those things that cause those new necessities go away, which of those new behaviors become habit and which one go back to normal? And then you can build the right type of real estate. If you knew that, you could build the right type of real estate. You could procure the right assets, right? But that's the big question.
Right. The new normal. It's funny. I did a, I'm in a, it's almost like a large telephone booth that sits six people here. I'm in Brooklyn. And I had my first in the room, three people in the room meeting, plus somebody, a group on the TV. And it was almost awkward because I could have done it flawlessly, computer to computer, 100 people. But because half of us were in a room, half were on a screen. Yeah. Where do you look? How do you, and it was a unique experience. This coming back mentality. Like, how do we position? How do we sit? Who leads?
Oh, and what's necessary and what's not? Because another thing, right, is that we've given up certain things, and maybe those things weren't necessities. We just, it was habit.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Chris.
Andres, when you were talking about the inventory thing, something that it's interesting, the past 2 days I've had two different people basically reaching out that they were planning on selling. You know, they've sold their business, or they've decided to get away from their business and they have space, and they were planning on selling the space. But both of them, totally unrelated to one another, contacted me basically seeing if any contractors were interested in, now they want to lease their space. So to your point about the, you know, not being the inventory out there, those are, you know, two really prime pieces of property that, you know, would probably be out there on the market, but instead these people decided, hey, you know, we're gonna lease instead. So it's kind of it's an interesting turn, and that's not something that I've seen in the 2 or 3 years that I've been been with the organization that I'm with either. So,
well, it goes back to repositioning, holding, and just I like to say coupon cutting, right? They thought they would get a 9 cap, now they won't. They won't get the money they needed to sell. So they're just going to have to hunker down, fill that space, collect that annual cash flow, take advantage of leverage appreciation in the next cycle. Whatever that is, whatever the expectation is, the next cycle. And that's the concern. I said this a year ago with, I think, you guys. My early investors, when COVID first hit 18 months ago, or whatever it was, I said, sell fast if you're going to sell. Otherwise, you're going to be holding for a while. And that's the truth. Now, some managed to come in and sell in the last 3 months and just didn't take what they would have, but took more than 6 months or 5 months. And now I think we've kind of slid back just a little, just waiting to see how this plays out. And we should know more
in a week. Yeah, and then in certain properties, their uses might not come back, right? And so you don't know. And when is the best time to sell? And the industrial market's different than, you know, the commercial market is different than the residential market. And I just thought of this, Christian made me think of this, is I wonder how many of the new leases being signed are for what terms? Because that would be kind of an interesting indication of people's thoughts about the future, and or at least their confidence in their business.
That's spot on. You lease the COVID clauses, let's call them, if they're there, what they look like, what are the exits like? Is this new behavior to say, wait a minute, do I need an out to close my business down for 3 months without incurring people being the most expensive, space being the second most expensive? How do I protect myself for the future? Need a lawyer on this call, actually.
So it's kind of interesting. And some of the real estate associations that I'm familiar with know that they've, you know, had to cut back on staff, that they've had to have fewer hours, right? Closed for certain, and they were still able to exist. And as a matter of fact, ended up the years in a better financial position, because some of the things that they thought were necessities, mm-hmm. once they were taken away, turned out to be not that big of a necessity, and or you could compensate in some other area that took any resistance away. So it's really giving people time to reevaluate their businesses. At the same time, a lot of money has come from the federal government. Mm-hmm. And so that's changed things and changed people's habits. And that's going to be interesting to see what happens to the workforce and where that goes and how hard or easy it's going to be to find people to do the jobs that are going to be needed. And then we got the other side that says everything's going to be technology anyway. You won't need people.
Well, you know, speaking of associations, continuing ed, remote, not having to rent a space, light a space, feed the people. There's a lot of money to be saved having teaching these classes remote. And then go 8 months or 12 months down the looking glass here. You've recorded the whole season, the whole class. In many cases, you can now just resell the recording, depending on the updated changes.
So we had an experience like that, right? What year was it? 2000. And as a matter of fact, 2001. September 11th was when we were going to launch, and we were in at a state real estate convention in Ohio on that day, and we were going to launch this first online technology certification program for the National Association of Realtors. First one, right?
EPRO?
EPRO. And so we launched that thing, and so we had to get a continuing education credit from each state, and I think we got up to like 30 states where we did that, but it was all technology, right? It was something you took online. At that point, it was very little interaction other than the groups that we had created. And once we created it, then people just enrolled for the knowledge, and we didn't have to teach it at all. Matter of fact, our time was consumed telling people they needed to buy the course.
Yeah.
Right? That became the real chore, was getting people to realize they had a need and that the course solved their need.
Yeah, and that's grown tremendously. It's still in use today, and that's great.
COVID's really taken that whole off online learning and accelerated. Same thing with Zoom and other technologies, right? That new behaviors have been accelerated by this pandemic.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you what you're seeing, Chris, on your side.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you know, as far as what's necessary and all that, you know, when you think about what's necessary, what can be cut out, you know, it's funny. We had a conversation today within our office, being that we're, you know, construction association. We did really well last year. We did really, really well. And it's the members who basically spoke up and said, hey, you know, this is what we pay our dues for and all that. And we provided a lot of value in a lot of different ways. You know, Creco being one of those ways, quite frankly, but it's just been a constant kind of, we talked about the supply thing a while ago. Now I don't hear anything about the supply thing unless it has to do with like COVID tests, quite frankly, which it's just odd. But we had a conversation with our office where we were kind of saying, you know what, we played things correctly last year. So right now, where we kind of roll our eyes and go, it's aggravating what's going on because we have to do events virtually instead of in person and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, the conversation kind of went towards, you know what? We did this last year. And things, you know, even though they're not great, things are better than last year in regards to many things, you know, how sick people are getting and, you know, deaths and all these types of things. And the industry is still building. You know, our people are still out there. Like I said, the weather's been mild enough. They haven't stopped. So as far as us as a construction association, we kind of said, you know what, if we basically do the same things we did last year or plan on that, and that made people happy and just make our adjustments as we go, you know, we're going to be in good shape. Where I saw, you know, I saw a lot of different associations in all different facets, you know, all different fields where, you know, they didn't have the robust event schedules. They didn't crank things up. They didn't make the adjustments. And, you know, here we are almost in the same exact position in a lot of ways. And I'm kind of curious to see how some of them react and how some of them, you know, work through the next few months. And if members of different associations, people involved in different associations want to sit back and just say, you know what, let's see what happens this winter and we'll pick things back up in the spring. Where I know the members that I deal with, they're ready to go. You know, they expect, we gave them something to expect last year, and we need to kind of repeat it this year. It's making things fun. I'm glad. You know, that you have to find the silver lining somewhere. So I'm like, you know what? Let's dig back into the bag of tricks and let's see what else we could find. I'm hoping you and I talk before the holiday that we're going to regroup in the new year. So I'm excited to see where that goes too.
Absolutely. And to your point, you said it very well. We did it. We made a plan in the rears last year, but now that plan's been done. It's tried. It's true. I think anybody in the C-suite or leadership position, whether it's an association or a corporation for profit and not for profit, there's a plan. They now know that there was a plan or there's a best practice. And we talked about it in March. Throw your playbook out, write your new playbook. That's what you should be doing March of last year. And those that did it now can just lean back and say, all right, this is what we're going to do. We know how to handle this. I think there's nothing new here that I'm seeing.
You know, and you got to look at crisp in construction. You got to think that the future is bright for construction because we don't have so much of what we need, right? We don't have enough housing. We've got all kinds of stuff that needs to be converted. We need new transport, and we got federal money coming down. We don't know how much, but so I got, you know, we got all kinds of issues to solve, of which construction is a major part of the solution.
Yep.
Right. And so now the question is, can you find people to do the work?
Well, the two things, you know, we talked back in March. I remember that exact conversation about throwing the playbook out and come up with a plan. You know, what's interesting is some of the companies that I'm dealing with that really weren't prepared back then, they actually are getting almost a second chance because they had that situation in the summer where they kind of turned around and went, oh man, I wish we were doing this. I wish we were doing that. I wish we were doing that. That was a tough winter. And now they're coming around and they're going, you know what? It's getting a little rough out there. Let's implement these things. So I'm seeing some companies improving. Hopefully they're improving for that, you know, when that money starts coming in. The other thing you just brought up, Saul, you know, I thought about this about 2 hours ago. I was with my daughter and I said, you want to go through the drive-thru or you want to go in to go pick out what you want at a coffee place? So I want to go in. So, okay, no problem. Let's just do it. We get out of the car, go up, doors locked. Go around to the other side, doors locked. We're not talking about the lights are on. There's a few people inside. It's kind of strange. I'm like, had to go through the drive-thru. I didn't bother asking the kid at the drive-thru, you know, really ask the question because you could tell he was swamped. But this is one of the most popular coffee chains that you're going to see out there. And all I was thinking was, like, if we can't get people to get out there and do, you know, work the counter at a coffee place, how are my steel guys going to find people to go out there and work steel? How are the roofers going to find people to get out there in August and to still be out there in January? Because up until, you know, maybe a little snow tomorrow, it's been, you know, fine weather. My daughter almost caught me kind of with this look on my face of like confusion. I wasn't so much confused that it was closed. I was confused as to, oh my God, what's my industry going to look like in regards to, like you said, Saul, can we find the people to do the work? And that's going to get very, very, very interesting.
Well, especially when you get into skilled trades, right?
Those weren't even really licensed trades that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You
know? Right. Unlicensed labor versus skilled labor. That's skilled labor.
Well, it takes a while to come back, right? Skilled labor, it takes a while to bring skilled labor back. And just because part of the skill is in the doing, right?
Yeah. And we have the apprenticeship, you know, ratio here in Connecticut. It's like a 3-to-1 ratio. So you have to have, you know, it's pretty tough to you have to have a license. That's a whole other ball game because these companies can't just take apprentices on left and right like they would like to, which is a whole other animal. But
so what I'm hearing is that if you're looking for work, you should be calling these trade companies and speaking to your association.
quite frankly, like, yeah, yeah. But you got people that, you also have people out there that are just hurting right now. And, you know, you tell them, hey, listen, the apprenticeship program is 4 years, or you tell them, hey, you have to do this. And, you know, and you even have some of the licensed people who have to come in for their you mentioned continuing education. You know, they have to come in for continuing education, or they have to retest for a license or whatever the case is. And they're like, you know, they have to reschedule because they're sick or someone in their family.
You look at this and this is like, that's exactly
a puzzle.
What is 2022? Exactly. That's it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's lots of variables.
Yeah.
And so flexibility is key. We know the things that we're going to need, things that we needed before. We're going to continue to do this. The question is, how fast does it come back? And there's going to be opportunity in the people that find the quickest way to come back to get things done. So, you know, I made a list of things. I think in 2022, people need to start to pay attention again to generational attitudes. And because as people start to adapt and adopt to new things, there's definitely going to be some generational aspect to it. And so part of, and Becca's not here, but we talk about the marketing side of it, and right, and talk about and communicating messages that help move, society or industries in a certain direction. There definitely is going to be a need for people who understand that the message to one group is not necessarily a message to the other group. And so back to years ago, we kind of all thought about this, but I don't think there's been a whole lot of thought about it lately. And I think now that we've got the time, we can't go anywhere anyway, let's go back into looking at some of the generational differences generate. And so, if people who haven't looked at it, it's very basic, right? Look at certain elements that take place in every human being's life, and how do those types of elements affect their life? And so things like events. So major events during a certain generation's lifetime, those events left a mark, good or bad, on that generation and created certain behaviors. And then certain generations have heroes, and those certain heroes had certain characteristics, and right. So people, scientists actually, sociologists and psychologists sit there and put together these models of what we tease each other with, which are generational differences and Gen X and Gen Y and millennials. But the fact is, if you paid attention to that, you could hone your messaging. And, for our associations, they could reach a broader, more diverse base of members. But so that's a piece that I think over the last couple of years, we talk about it, but not as much as we probably should. And now with this forced change on everybody, I think it might be impactful to look at that. Just like I think it'd be a good idea to look at how long-term leases people are signing.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to, media content and delivery. How do I deliver my message? I'm just jumping into Becca's shoes for a moment. What is the delivery channel? We were talking before the show on Twitch. Most people don't know what Twitch is. And I used to say, Twitter was for people that couldn't write and Instagram's for people that can't read. But everyone is there today. So should you be as a business? So I think you're spot on. This generational switch, not stitch, is something you have to pay attention to and hard focus in on, because just like you can't get employees or laborers on a job site, well, where are they? What about the new labor? Let's look to the future. How do I get in front of them now so I can fill a gap 12, 18 months from now? Because everybody muddles through 12 months. It starts over every day. But if you're not looking at the midterm and the long term, then you're in trouble. Act today, plan for tomorrow. And don't forget what you've learned. Truly, unless you have a car wash like Saul in California, not in December.
I'll tell you that car wash is a nice, and here's the deal: real estate is a nice deal.
That's right.
So I hone my theme for 2022 and beyond. What I would like to see, I wrote this down because I thought I could actually figure it out. I think that everyone in America should have the opportunity to buy a home. Right? That's the goal. Everybody in America should have the opportunity to buy a home. And why? Because I believe in home ownership, because I believe if you have a stake in the system, you become a better citizen. I believe that the only way to build wealth and generational wealth is through the ownership of real estate. So why, and particularly in the age of blockchain and multi, you know, zillions of transactions and the artificial, why can't we create programs that allow every American the opportunity? Some may say, I never want to, you've heard these people, right? I don't want to own it. I like being, well, that's your choice. But I know if you want to build generational wealth, you want to build wealth for your family, you have to buy real estate. So my focus is everybody in America should have an opportunity. And that means different loan programs, right? And we're talking about major land use changes. We all know that's coming. We're going to see increased density. We're going to see more walkability. We're going to see less driving. The writing's on the wall. It's been there for years. We're going to see more mixed use. We've seen that for years. But all of a sudden, there's going to be, and it's not all of a sudden, that's the point. All this stuff that's been going on for years, is going to, people are going to start noticing it. And they're going to start saying, hey, look at that. Hey, and it's because it's been going on for so long. And so this, he won't remember, but when they built the freeway system, when Eisenhower built the freeway system in the 50s, it changed people's habits. It changed, this is a big thing, it changed the value of real estate. And so if you're going to change transportation and transportation habits, you're going to change the value of the real estate around it. And if your business is real estate, you need to know this. And I'll give you an example. Here in San Diego, we have a combined government called SANDAG, and they've just allocated $150 billion, like over the next 10 years, to change the transportation in San Diego. $150 billion. Well, that means more light rail. I mean, we know what the programs are, more walkability, more bike lanes. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but might the government come up with a solution that's not right for a particular neighborhood? But when the government's now pushing this out, just got passed in San Diego, they said, we're going to come out with this plan, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to begin to spend this money, and we're going to do this with data-driven facts. So they're pushing data-driven. Now, if your job is real estate, you want to have a place at the table and you want to be able to talk back. If you don't have data-driven yourself, then you're not going to be able to sit at the table. It's like you've got to trust the science. We're the government. This is what you have to do. The data tells us that the trolley best goes through here. Yeah. The neighborhood says, no, well, you're just a neighborhood. But yeah, we're the neighborhood, and we've got the software and the technology and the companies that tell us that the path that the government wants to take is a different path. So we get back to this data thing. But it's all going to happen, and I hope for the good, because I want every American to have the opportunity to buy real estate. Then you get to change the loan criteria that they put together in the 1940s. Right, so that to get people to qualify and go, we could spend forever talking about. So 2022 is the year to get things done. Right,
I think that's a great example, and it's one we harp on a lot. It's where is the money, and having being invaluable in whatever you do, and a big part of that is knowing your market, knowing where the money's going, and that's another way to say data. There's a very large developer in Connecticut. One of the third largest, actually. And he told a story, this is before computers, where the reason he got his start is he was at town hall. He noticed a bunch of permits going in. He looked at the permits, said, wait a minute, they're building what is called Bridgeport Ave. They're building a Route 1, a highway right along this route next to this other highway. And he promptly took all the plans and stuffed them in the ceiling because he had seen them. No one else had seen them. And that corporation is now over 1 million square feet along this highway because he went and bought it up. Chris, I'm sure you know who I'm referring to. And
I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, he did some time, not for that, for other things, and he's here, and he's one of the biggest tax contributors for the state. But that's him with the data, with the knowledge, and applying that knowledge. Now you don't need to stuff it in the ceiling. You need a computer to tell you ahead of time and then to be able to act on it. So spot on all accounts. And as real estate professionals, knowing what went and where in our markets, it's kind of the bread and butter of it. Just like Chris in the construction world, knowing what it's going to cost, how to build it, and if you can build it, I'm sure you'd agree. So regulation and future look and outlook, what can I do? Because a lot will get done this year. People have a lot of money burning holes in their pockets and a lot of energy to do something. I mean, we saw that over the holiday break. People were itching to get out. now here we are. So that being said, it's going to be an exciting 2022. Yes, the markets are a little light, but there's money coming down the pike, and there's going to be a lot of thinking.
So on the one hand, you say there's a lot of private money, huh?
Yeah,
a lot of money out there. Then the other hand, you hear that interest rates are going to go up.
Yes.
Right. So that's going to have some effect. Then the other piece, you hear that there's inflation's going to stick around. And then the other piece, you hear there's going to be more money supply, right? And then you got COVID. Put it in the oven, 360, right? And so people have to be real flexible. Real flexible. And then throw this in. It's an election year. Critical election year. Right?
Yeah.
Critical election year. And you throw that in. For now, you see that, 90% of what you see in media is probably not going to be true one way or another, right? And so that complicates things even more. And everything has to be taken with a grain of salt and looked at politically. And so it's going to be an interesting year.
I hadn't even... I'm too early into January to have gone there, but you're spot on. Question and come to your own conclusions in many areas. Absolutely. And they're probably wrong. So adjust. Be flexible. But that's very true. Chris, as far as you're rebooted, you're settled back in. It sounds like your association is ready to go. We're going to be offline-ish, moving. And as far as the supply chain, you're saying that's non-existent. It's been solved. They figured it out in time for Christmas. Santa's back.
It's still an issue, but not to the extent that it was, a couple months ago. But again, it's always what's the next challenge? What's the next problem? What's the next biggest thing? So, all of a sudden, COVID kind of ramped up, and now it got back to the testing, and it got back to maintaining and all that sort of stuff. So you really didn't hear much of the supply stuff, or at least I haven't gotten the calls. One of the issues is when it comes to the public, when it comes to this public work, it has to do with the idea of, 18 months ago, certain dollars were put out there. And the bids were all taken in and all that sort of stuff. And now all of a sudden it's time to get to work and the prices have gone way, way up. So the issue is, these contractors basically trying to not only not lose money, but just be able to make anything. And they're working through a lot of things with lawyers, and they're working through the contracts to try to get, to get some of the general contractors and the CMs to have some wiggle room there. And, it leads me into something I was going to mention before. Hassan was mentioning all those things completely spot on. All of those things going on, I see 2022 being a situation where a lot of people are going to dig back to what they know also. And what they know is going to be some of just relationships, some of their strong relationships, and going back to the people that they've had success with and the companies they've had success with and saying, you know what? We've done this before. We could do it again. I've had success with this person in building in challenges that we've had in the past. You know what? I got to see what they're up to. And just having conversations and keeping their personal relationships and the professional relationships strong, and that even goes into some of that generational stuff. Some of the people who have worked together for years and years and years, and maybe some of the family ties and the generational ties, saying, you know what? I need to... And I'm seeing this right now where some people are saying, I need a job. I need a little bit, I need something to get us through the winter. What do you got? And they have the conversations, and maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it says, you know what? I'm not really doing much. We're pretty good. But I do have another GC that is a little bit smaller that might be able to, keep you busy through the winter. And then all of a sudden that subcontractor or that, specialty contractor, I may not hear from him again. And then, a few weeks goes by. Oh yeah, I met with so-and-so and it's been interesting because I love dot connecting. I love networking. So to see these little relationships kind of taking people through some of the slower months, some of the people who might have been stressed out at this time last year aren't as stressed out because, again, they've kind of gone back and said, you know what, let me dig into my pockets and see what I can, see what I can come up with. So I think the relationship side of things is going to be, it was always strong. I think there's so much. I had a conversation with someone today where they are in a little bit of a contentious situation with someone that they're really close with, and they need to almost get away from the current situation to keep the personal relationship intact. And it means that much more to them to keep the personal relationship intact this time around than it might have meant 2 years ago or 3 years ago, where people were willing to say, you know what, I'm done with you. I can't. Now there's so much natural kind of divide and natural challenges going on that people are more apt to say, no, I need you. You are something I need because you are someone that I've dealt with prior to what has gone on the past 2 years. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see the dynamic of how people are kind of interacting with one another. And that was, again, that was an interesting conversation today to see someone say, you know what, I can't lose that person. And personally, I need them in my life. Professionally, I'll deal with that later on. It's interesting. It's an interesting world out there right now as to what people are willing to tolerate, walk away from, and stick with in regards to who they're dealing with and what companies and contractors they're dealing with and just people they're dealing with, quite frankly.
So that's back to Saul's point about reevaluating what's important.
Yeah, that's exactly what sparked me to think about that. It's exactly the conversation I had today. I was like, I could almost between the two of us over the phone hear both of us thinking like, so we're looking at what's important versus, what's going to keep me employed for the next couple, the next year, 2 years. Well,
so that brings up an interesting point that we have never touched on it, or at least I don't recall touching on it in our calls. But this the speaking of generational shifts, the next generation has a more transient flow to it, even in the jobs they undertake. So to go into skilled labor, which takes years of training, I can see any of those areas being less attractive without COVID, just on a generational standpoint.
Yeah.
Because they're hard to escape. You can't jump company to company. It doesn't give you the growth. So maybe it is a part of the labor shortage there, a contributing factor, but this generational shift will change the face of working. I don't get on the phone as often as I'd like to. Maybe that's just me being traditional and liking... I very much like to be on a phone call, not as much as I like a Zoom meeting or in person. But it's majority is email today. All the newer companies I speak with, all email, basically.
And Chris, just to kind of summarize this point about relationships, and it's been one of my major themes for years in business, in the real estate business in particular, is don't burn any bridges. Right. And sometimes you want to, and sometimes you get really pissed off, and you know what? If you don't burn any bridges, you just never know. And I've been in business long enough myself, I'm 72 years old, to know that you come across people again, and you might even come across them again.
Yep.
Right. And so you just don't burn any bridges, and that's relationships. And even when they start to go awry, if you think they do, you don't burn bridges around them, and that's the best piece of business advice I can give people, I think. So you hit it right on the nose.
Sometimes it's about putting, like I said, a conversation that we had today was more put some space in there if you need to. Instead of going off the handle and risking burning that bridge that you're going to need to cross at some point, instead, put some space out there, separate a little bit, and then come back, come back when, for lack of a better, term, cooler heads kind of prevail, or when the climate isn't as naturally tense. It's just naturally there's you see these signs in these restaurants a lot now. The whole country's at a hiring shortage. Please be kind to the people who showed up. And not everyone's being kind to the people who showed up. We see videos all over the internet, but it's this naturally kind of tense atmosphere sometimes. And it's kind of good to give that space or that benefit of the doubt, depending on the situation. So, you know, let me just, you know, not everyone is thinking, myself included, not everyone is thinking the same way they were thinking 2 years ago, almost on the dot, almost on the, you know, what was it? February, March, 2 years ago. In a lot of ways, the time has just screamed by. It's just flew by. So, you know, just not everyone's in the same, you know, the same. Hopefully a lot of people have evened out.
So this major generational effect, right? You've taken kids almost their high school away from them. Their ability to play college or prep football, I mean, or whatever, right? In whatever sport. You've taken away these opportunities that past generations have had. And that's going to have an effect going forward for generations. Just like you get into certain things that happened during people's life. In my parents' life, the thing that affected the way that they were, just the way they were, the things that affected them was the Great Depression and the results of the Great Depression, World War II, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, they were both there. World War II, my dad was so those things affected their entire life. And they were major things, just like people who were there 2001 in New York City and the world. That affected certain people at certain ages in different ways at that point in their life. COVID. Now, again, I'm 72, so COVID came around 2 years ago. I was 70, right? And for me, the years are like dog years now. So it's like, well, I'm in a different position to where the effect that it has is more of just a restraint. But other people, it's much greater than just a restraint. And it's like, and so what happens is there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of pressure, there's added financial pressures, all of these different things that put people maybe not in the frame of mind that we would expect them to be in by the look on their face when we approach them, right? Sure. Which is how we judge typically, right?
Yes. Well, and only because Darren couldn't make today's call, I'll bring it up. Speaking of approaching people in stressors, the scams out there are immense. People taking advantage of other people. Oh. Housing, going to find an apartment, meeting them online, talking, not using a realtor, which was the first mistake. And then turns out it's a scam. They're taking your money and you're not paying attention because you need it. And you have other stressors, to your point, that are affecting you greatly. That you didn't think to connect A, B, and C. You didn't meet the person, so I'm not going to Venmo them that money as a deposit. Again, all things a realtor would have stopped you from doing. Yeah. But.
Well, so there are a lot of scams. Many, many scams. And they're in all different areas. And they all breed on certain things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so you bring up some really good questions then about where are we today as a culture, as a society? Where are we headed? What are our values, right? Big questions that social media kind of distorts things for us. A great book I think I mentioned to you guys is The Hype Machine. And you know, so there's this distortion of reality, but certain generations, they live in a distorted reality. And by that, I mean more people. Look at Facebook changes its name, right? To Meta, because it now is going to push what everybody thinks is new. It's been around for a long time. Then you look at EXP Real Estate. They like almost to me like they were way ahead of the game because they got into this idea of, and you didn't hear people talking about selling virtual real estate, which sounds unbelievable, ridiculous until you start looking at NFTs. And right, and you say, wait a minute, different people of different generations have different hold value in different ways. And so things that we might rule as nonsense, yeah, might not be nonsense at all.
It's bankable almost.
Yeah.
Which is crazy in and of itself.
Yeah.
It's a crazy 2022. It's really the overriding theme I'm hearing from this group. Although I'll sell you a car wash in the metaverse, Saul.
And there you go. That's right. We got to have a lot of people who can afford to buy cars in the metaverse.
Yeah,
I need a car in the metaverse. Now I'm stuck with this property. I need to reposition it. But, and then the question is, what is it zoned for?
Right, what tolls am I paying? That's the Who's collecting the tolls?
And it's probably not going to be zoned for residential.
Speaking of zoning, are you? Last time we spoke, you mentioned that they rezoned your car wash's neighborhood. And you were looking at maybe changing.
Well, so we were. I was involved in that years ago, and what we're seeing now is across the country is this opportunity with increased densities. And the push by the government to increase densities, to reduce driving, to help the environment. We're seeing more and more of that. So in my, when I'm thinking in my neighborhood, the highest and best use based on the projection that land use will changes, that more people will want walkability and live in, that car wash property, highest and best use is going to be an apartment building where the city gives us a huge density bonus for building. Right. And so that'll be, and we'll, that's what we'll do. Now, one block up, two major streets up in San Diego, if you're familiar with San Diego, and you get up above downtown and you got these busy, busy, long streets, University Avenue, Elkhorn Boulevard, and Adams Avenue, just busy, busy, and have decayed over the years and have come back pieces of it. And they've been brought, money is spent there, federal money goes there because the city wants to increase the value of the property, increase the tax base. And so I was driving on one of those streets 2 weeks ago, and I noticed that they were actually digging the middle of the street up where the trolley tracks were 75 years ago. And so part of the stuff I've been studying about going in and revitalizing and redeveloping areas is determining where they call them the bones, where the bones of the city are. And then if you're going to rebuild your city, you're going to rebuild certain types of uses around certain bones of the city, and doing that you can increase the tax, right? It's this whole story of smart growth. Yeah. And so I've been reading about it, reading about different parts of the country where they do it, and I'm driving, I see they're digging up the track right down the middle, and I think, what are they bringing back the trolley, right? Because they are bringing back these light rail things, and they've been bringing back the light rail things for years, right? But now people are starting to use them. Why are they starting to use them? Because they're closing down the driving lanes and making them bike lanes. And so if you want to get around, all of a sudden mass transit looks more convenient than it ever looked before. And
I'm great on a bicycle. I can get there.
Or a scooter, right? So you take the mass transit, you get the scooter, you take it the rest of the way. And people, they can't understand what's going on. It's, they're eliminating the internal combustion engine in society.
That's right. Going green or net zero carbon emissions.
California, I think after 2028, maybe 2030, you can't sell new internal combustion engine cars in California anymore. So the future's already here. Right? It's just takes a while to get there. But if people look out ahead, can see what's coming, can determine where the opportunity is. My grandfather used to say to me, find the direction of growth. He's a fireman. But he also sold real estate on the side, right? Because he had to work 24 and then off 24. And he was a contractor. And he said, find the direction of growth, go out as far as you can, and buy whatever you can. My grandfather told me when I'm like 16.
And it worked well. You have that car wash.
He was right. Well, we bought that in the middle of town.
Look, location, 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 yeah. Middle of town. So is that your advice for the listeners this month? Is look out as far as you can to where the growth is and buy?
Well, no, not anymore. Because remember, the trends, and part of it's generational, is walkability. And we can actually show you where those neighborhoods that have redeveloped and are walkable neighborhoods have premiums on the values of those properties. And right. So if you're a real estate investor, you want to invest in areas that are walkable areas, because we can take you to Dallas and Houston. We can take you to a bunch of different cities and show you the premium you get. So now that's changed. Why? Because the big override, that used to be the case. My grandfather's story used to be the case, because we believed we could just, you know, drive till you qualify. Drive and drive. But now we found out we can't service all of this. We can't police it. We can't fight the fires. We can't house all the people. We can't provide all that. We can't do that anymore. And besides, the environment's getting dirty because we got all these cars, and the people that work downtown got to drive for 2 hours to work at their minimum wage Right. So it's this whole idea of, and it's happening. Land use policy is changing. How different is it going to be? How different was it before there was a freeway system in the United States? Vastly different. How different is it going to be in the future? Vastly different. But the trends are already there. People are already doing it. I know, Chris, you know people who are building these kinds of things. Mixed use has been around for a while. It all revolves around bringing people closer together, not extending, because you can't afford it. So how do you get how do you most effectively manage the government resources you have to take it? You start looking at new ways to use the land. And the government's been looking at this for a long time. You know, the future isn't created today. The future's created 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And we see it manifest and becomes visible to us today. But it didn't get created. So these things are happening. And to your point, Andres, yes, I think people should start to look at and then look at what they're strong at doing and look at where they think things are going. Not going out to where the property, you know, going out as far as you can and buying, but looking at where the opportunity now is going to be drawn in, because the trend is going to be to draw and to come in and to do infill and that sort of thing, I think.
Well, so there's a saying, circling the wagons. Humankind has circled wagons since before we had wagons. If there's a threat, if as a community we circle together, malls, we come together to access things, to protect things, to work better together. So to both of your points, circling of the wagons, strengthening your relationships, identifying what within your network is that long-term growth opportunity, and then going after it, I think is my advice to people. But Chris, would you reaffirm for our listeners, we're coming up on the top of the hour, what should they do for the next month?
So I don't know if I've shared this one yet, but even if I have, I want to kind of go back to this to tie in a couple different things in regards to the relationships and Andrea, something you mentioned kind of sparked to tie these things together. You mentioned being on the phone, having the phone conversations. This is so something I did a long time ago, and I still try to do this the best I can. Usually it's more dealing with membership and things of that nature, but setting a goal, five might be aggressive, but I used to go into my phone, I would call five people on my drive home, which was a little bit longer than it is now. So it might be two, it might be three, but I would reach out and I had some ties into, let's say, ESPN. So one day I didn't want to lose my ties to ESPN. I didn't want to lose my ties to certain facets. So one day I'd say, you know what, let me give so-and-so a call. And it was literally just to say hello, just to check in, just to say hello, just to see how they were doing. It was really, honestly, just to say hi. And, you know, now there might be a little bit more to talk about because people, you know, they've been kind of cooped up. So there might be a little more conversation and you might get one call in or you might get two calls in. But I used to shoot to make five calls, say hello to some people, and it ties back to these are bridges that were never burned, but these are bridges that you're probably going to have to cross again at some point. And they do every single day. And it makes people feel comfortable in a good way. It makes people feel comfortable to reach out to you when they need something, when they want something, when they could use your help. And it just develops conversation that can lead to good things. One thing I put when I do an e-intro between people, Andres, you may have seen this a few times, I'll say, you know, this may be a fit, this may not be a fit, I'm not too completely sure, I'll let you connect, but in my eyes, there's no such thing as bad networking if it involves good people. Let me know if you need anything, whatever. And it rings true every single time where if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but it never puts that person in the middle in a spot where, you know, someone goes, oh, I'm being scammed here, or I got this. Or so that's what I would say. Pick up the phone and reach out to even a text at this point. When I was doing that, text wasn't as big. Shooting the text just to see how somebody is can be powerful. It's simple, but it's, how many people get in their car and just want that quiet ride home, or I want to listen to the music and shut it down? if you don't shut down and you make a couple calls and see how people are going, you might end up feeling even better than, you know, the quiet ride. So it's simple, but I know it's effective because it doesn't hurt.
You hit the main point, which is engagement.
Mm-hmm.
It's engagement. So the telephone is a form of engagement. And there are many other forms of engagement that people have at their fingertips today. Simple things that they don't think about because they don't think about, like we talk in social media. And so, you know, you got all these buttons and icons and things and people like it and they're there all the time. But believe it or not, just as something as simple and you can do it in an instant is to like somebody's post. That alone is a major engagement. Now, nobody else will see it. But you know who will see it? The person who you like or you really want to get their attention, share something that they do. Yeah. So these are little things that you can do. They don't take a lot of time. The phone call. When I went away to college, my dad gave me a book to the Naval Academy. My dad gave me a pen. And he said to me, when I joined the Navy, my dad gave me a pen. And he said, write your mother every week. And I went away to college. And then every week I would write my mother. And sometimes my letter would say, hi, Mom, nothing new, love, Saul. That's all I would say. And I would mail it to my mother, right? And it was an engagement. Think about World War II, where people maintained relationships and marriages through letter writing that was censored and scanned by the government before they even got it, few and far between. And yet those little engagements were enough to keep people in relationship. So depending upon the time and the circumstance, Chris, you're right, it's all about engagement. So find the time to do those little things that nobody else does. And you'd be surprised at the reward that you get at the other side. Yeah. It might not be immediate. It's a long-term game, right?
Yeah. Even the small acknowledgement of, you made me think about something today as, I saw couple people's birthdays came up on Facebook. One person I talk to all the time, one person I used to work with 10 years ago. Haven't talked to her in probably 9.5 years. One's a family member. Say happy birthday to my family member real quick. And then I'm like, why come off that screen? They're right next to each other. All I have to do is put a quick happy birthday. The letters are going to pop up. As soon as I put HAP, the whole thing's going to fill out for me. All I have to do is hit enter. And an hour later, she hearts the, and I'm like, you know what? That replaced one of the five, phone calls that I would make to, and it's just, or seeing it's someone's birthday, but you have their phone number in your phone. You may not have talked to them for 6-7 years, but instead of making it the public acknowledgement, hey, I saw you had a baby. Hey, I saw happy birthday, whatever. Shooting the quick text and saying, I did that the other day with somebody. They didn't even know I had their cell phone. I found out they had a baby. I said, can you give me their cell phone real quick? Reached out and, I can only imagine they're smiling on the other side. And if they're not, they're not. I mean, that's not.
No, social media gives you those kinds of opportunities. Yeah. And it's great. And I do that. Every friend of mine on Facebook and LinkedIn for the last 10 years, 15, I don't know, every one of them, I wish them a happy birthday.
Yeah.
I don't miss an opportunity. It's a free opportunity to engage. And and I use a copy paste, right? So it's, and it can control X, control V, and then I type their name in and put the exclamation point in there. I give them a little heart, or it depends on where they are in my world, right? That's a whole other subject, talking in emoticons, right? but you're right. Absolutely. It's all about engagement.
So is it fair to say that staying engaged with an eye on the future is the takeaway? And what engagement means to you, it's all about touches, but going back to sales, being in touch, multiple touches with your network to make sure that it is your network, connectivity at the end of the day. So a recurring theme as usual with our group. Looking forward to next month's call, of course. And I want to thank you both, of course, for making time, joining the call, being a part of this call. We continue to grow here and bring great advice to great listeners all across the U.S. So, why do they reach you? How can they reach you if they want more advice? The Data Advocate?
TheDataAdvocate.com. TheDataAdvocate.com. It's growing and changing. We're having a good time with it. And it's where, again, where our vision is, everybody in the United States ought to have an opportunity to buy a home. Whether they do or don't, it's up to them. But somehow they ought to, because that makes better citizens. That gives people a stake in the system. The best way to do this is to understand what's going on around you. So thedateadvocate.com.
I love it. And Chris, if our listeners want to reach out and connect with you, learn more, how do they reach you? Why do they reach you?
Email, if not LinkedIn, email is probably the best. It's just the last name, ABEL at CTABC.org. And I'd love to hear from anyone who wants to reach out.
Fantastic. And again, I want to thank all our listeners. First Thursday every month at 6. Join us for the next Real Estate Roundtable. You can always find me, Twitter, LinkedIn, as well as Krakow.ai. There I am on Twitter and Krakow.ai. And thank you so much to our show production crew, the one-man show back there, Regan. Are you on? And his backup crew, his daughter. Hey. I just heard her in the background.
You just heard her, right? Yeah. she's making the surprise visit.
Yeah. I oversight is here. I got it. Join us again next month, everyone. And stay safe, most importantly. Happy 2022.
Happy New Year's.